Middle class has been taking a beating for more than a decade. You deserve folks in Washington who are willing to fight back on your behalf every single day. Because every single day you and Americans like you all across the country are working hard and living up to your responsibilities. So you've got to have the same seriousness of purpose in your leaders. Now, I see three areas where we need to focus if we're really going to keep the recovery going but take it to new heights. Number one, we've got to make America a magnet for good jobs. Number two, we've got to make sure that workers are able to get the education and skills they need to do those jobs. Number three, we've got to make sure that if and when you're working hard, that that leads to a decent living. And that's why I wanted to come to Baltimore, because a lot of people here in Baltimore, they work hard. Baltimore has gone through tough times in the past, but Baltimore has come bouncing back. I started a few hours ago at a pre-K program at Moravia Park Elementary School. Their kids are getting a head start learning skills they need to succeed in college and the workplace. And by the way, this is a center that was named after Steny Hoyer's late wife, Judy, because she and Steny share my belief in the importance of giving every kid every chance as early as possible. You know, I got to help with one of the lessons. We were having to draw zoo animals. And I've got to say, my tiger was not very good. The kids were unimpressed. They kind of looked at it. They said, "That doesn't look like a tiger." But they were amazing. And later today, I'm going to visit with a program that helps people who've gone through some tough circumstances, especially low-income dads. And this program's now helping them get the training and the guidance they need to find work and support a family, which is a priority. Because, and probably some of these folks who I'm meeting, they didn't get that early childhood education that put them on the right track. What we want to do is, first of all, make sure our kids are getting the training they need. But if they missed out early on, you know, we still want to give them opportunity on the back end. But obviously, the training of kids, giving them good education, training older workers, none of that's going to make a difference if we don't have great companies that are hiring. And that's why I wanted to come to Ellicott. Ellicott Dredges, you guys are an example of what we can do to make America a magnet for good jobs. After all, y'all know a thing or two about growing the economy. You've been doing it for more than a century. This company was founded in 1885. You've been right here on Bush Street since 1900. This company built dredging equipment that helped dig the Panama Canal. That's impressive. What that means is this company right here in Baltimore literally helped create our global economy, because that was one of the first connectors, right, that started to allow us to ship goods and cut the distances that integrated the world economy. And yet, after all this time, this company still has a set of core values that's lasted for generations. Just like the folks who came before you, you've got that drive to make the best machines that money can buy, to sell products all over the world, to grow not just a business but a community, and by doing that, you're growing our country. And these values have seen you through an era of enormous change. Your leaders saw the potential in developing markets like China and India and Brazil and Bangladesh, so you ramped up your focus on airports, on exports, maybe on airports too, but on exports. And the federal government has worked with you as a partner to sell dredging equipment right out of this shop all over the world. You maintained your quality. You built a sales force that travels everywhere, out hustling the competition in search of new business. All that hard work's paid off. Today, this company, you, have sold equipment to more than 100 different countries. You've made new investments here at home. You employ more than 200 people in Baltimore and Wisconsin and Kansas. And over the past few decades, during some of the tough times for our workers, you were able to keep building equipment stamped with those three proud words, made in America, and you're selling it around the world. As Steny Hoyer and some of these House members like to say, that means you're making it America. Yeah, see, Steny gets excited. You're actually making stuff here in America, but it also means we're all making it here in America when you do what you're doing. And this is a great example. And the good news is more and more companies are following your example. After shedding jobs for 10 years, our manufacturers have added more than 500,000 jobs over the past 3 years. Ford is bringing jobs back from Mexico. Caterpillar is bringing jobs back from Japan. After placing plants in other countries like China, Intel, which is making the chips in your smartphone and your iPad and your all of these gizmos everybody's holding up right now, Intel's opening its most advanced plant right here at home, right here in America. Washington should be helping these kinds of success stories take root all across the country. That's why my administration's boosted our efforts to help businesses export more of their goods and services. That's why we signed trade agreements that will protect American workers, but open up new markets and support tens of thousands of good-paying jobs. That's why we reauthorized the Export-Import Bank. And we are proud to have the bank's chairman right here, Fred Hochberg. He's here this afternoon. He's helping this company, as we speak, sell more goods overseas. And so today, exports are at an all-time high. We are selling more stuff around the world. We've added more than 1 million export-supported jobs since I took office. So all these steps are making a difference. But there's more we can do. We need to pursue new trade agreements with Europe and the Pacific region. We need to invest in high-tech manufacturing centers because I want the next revolution in manufacturing to be made here in America. Our workers are at our best when we're building stuff. So today I'm also announcing the next step in our effort to cut through red tape that keeps big construction projects from getting off the ground. Now, some of you, if you've heard me, I'm really big on us rebuilding our infrastructure in this country. Yeah, I want to put people back to work improving our roads, our bridges, our airports, our ports. You know, we were talking about the Panama Canal. The Panama Canal is being revamped down in Panama so that it can accommodate even bigger ships. And these cargo ships are so big that if we don't remodel our ports here in the United States, they can't dock at our ports. They'll dock someplace else. We'll lose that business. So we've got to up our game when it comes to infrastructure. And the good news is when you do that, you're putting people back to work right away, operating dredging equipment and doing other stuff. And you're also laying the foundation for future economic growth. Now, the problem is, you know, we've had some trouble out of Congress just going ahead and funding. I know, it's surprising, isn't it? But we've had a little difficulty getting our Republican friends to work with us to find a steady funding source for these projects that everybody knows needs to happen.